Blog Talk Radio.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Is the best government really the one that governs the least? Can we ever have a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution? If the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, why is the government all over us? Tonight, whatever happened to freedom? Understanding where we go from here should start with understanding how we got here. We are the free and independent people of the United States of America. We are free because those who preceded us fought a war against a person who was then the world's grandest king and who presided over what was then the world's grandest empire. The founding fathers risked, as they like to tell us, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the freedom and independence they won and we have inherited. But they were not saints, and initially their cause was not popular. From the records available today, the people who measure historical trends have concluded that in 1776, only about one-third of Americans supported the Revolution, about one-third of Americans opposed it, and about one-third of them didn't care. When I first looked at these numbers, I thought, in 1776, this was the grandest fight for the greatest amount of freedom for the most people at any point in history. So who could possibly oppose it? And who in their right mind could not care? Fast forward to today and ask, who could possibly support a government that regulates everything from the strength of the water pressure in your shower to the size of the toilet bowl in your home to the thickness of the leather in your shoes? Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key? Perhaps the colonists who didn't care if they freely chose their government or were cared for by a benevolent tyrant had an odd way of knowing what was coming. Perhaps those who opposed the revolution were afraid to take on the king, to challenge authority, and to risk their comfortable lives for the unknown. Well, we all know what happened. A relatively small part of the population pushed the culture and society toward freedom. And the freedoms that they chose were pure. I mean, after we won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, the new government and the political class assured all Americans that they could think as they wished and say what they thought and publish what they said, that they could associate or not associate with anyone. They could worship as they chose or choose not to worship. They could defend themselves with guns even against tyrants, that troops would never enter their homes, that only neutral judges would issue search warrants, and that the government could not take their lives, their freedom, or their property without a trial, at which their fault would be proven in front of a neutral jury. All this was guaranteed to the first generation of Americans and to their posterity, that would be us, because much of it had been denied them by the king and the parliament, and because Americans came to believe, even the one-third that were afraid and the one-third that didn't care, that these rights are ours by virtue of our humanity. Whether you believe that we are the highest order of natural selection, or whether you believe, as I do, that we were created by God in his image and likeness, you know in your heart that these natural yearnings, as St. Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Jefferson called them, are our natural rights, are a part of our humanity, and cannot long be denied us. And yet, they have been denied. The same founding fathers who wrote that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, in fact, enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts, which punished speech that was critical of them, critical of the government. This happened because people were afraid to challenge the tyranny of the majority. America, the greatest losses to our freedom have come not from someone attacking us, but from the government ignoring the Constitution and the majority letting them get away with it. The worst amendments to the Constitution were not those ratified by the states, but rather were amendments by consensus, where all three branches of government agreed to look the other way. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. So what shall we do? We should challenge authority, no matter who is in charge. We should challenge the majority whenever it curtails anybody's freedom. We should side with freedom no matter what the government says. We should vote out of office those who push the government outside the Constitution, no matter what earmarks they just brought home. And we should make the government afraid of us. Afraid of us. Because as Jefferson reminded us, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. From New York, defending freedom, everybody's freedom, whenever I can. So long, America.
Hey, it's your host, Akeem L. Jr., and you're tuning to Freedom Fridays. So today we're going to go into the Fair Debt Collecting Practices Act, which goes in with the third-party debt collector letter, which almost everyone should probably have, just to give you some information on it, a little background on it. But before I go into it, just want to talk a little bit about, you know, life. Life is crazy. No matter how, sometimes how much we try to do certain things, we mess up. And that's part of life, especially with success. I feel like failure is the biggest part of success, because from failure comes, you know, just that big thing that we really want, which is to be successful. I've failed many times at a lot of things and messed up a lot of things, but I know just moving forward, all I can do is just continue to be a better man. Every day I feel better, every day that I wake up, because I know I'm getting closer and closer to the attainment of every goal and everything that I ever wanted. It's really, well, all this information is really about just freeing your mind. You got to start off with your mindset. Your mindset is the start of everything. If your mindset not right, no matter what you do with this information or anything that you learn, you're not going to do it right. You're not going to put the right actions, the right words together, or follow the right procedures that you need to follow. So, you know, first step in anything is really just your mind. So, but anyways, let me go ahead and get on with the show. So we're talking about the Fair Debt Collection Practice Act. It goes in with the third-party debt collector letter. So basically, what they did with this was they got abusive practices. There's abundant evidence of use of abusive, deceptive, and unfair debt collection practices by many debt collectors. Abusive debt collection practices contribute to the number of personal bankruptcies, to marital instability, to loss of jobs, and to the invasion of individual privacy. Well, we know anytime we go, like we got any loan or we got a car or, you know, anything, say we mess up, we lose our job, or we just miss one payment because, hell, sometimes you don't even notice, you know, that you got the payment coming up because you got other things going on in mind. They start harassing you, start, you know, calling your job, all the other stuff. What else? There's a lot of abusive tactics they use just to get in contact with you about their money, which they don't even have the right to do. But we're going to get in a little bit more of that. The inadequacy of laws. Existing laws and procedures for redressing these injuries are inadequate to protect the consumer. So really they made this right here, this Fair Debt Collection Practices Act to protect us, the consumers. Available non-abusive collecting methods. Means other than misrepresentation or other abusive debt collection practices are available for the effective collection of debts. Interstate commerce. Abusive debt collection practices are carried on to a substantial extent in interstate commerce and through means and instrumentalities of such commerce, even where abusive debt collecting practices are purely interstate in character. Look up what that means. Interstate. Let's see what that means. Existing or occurring within the boundaries of a state, especially of the United States, interstate commerce. Existing or occurring within the boundaries of a state. Okay. So basically, that just means it's owning stuff in the United States. Purposes. It is the purpose of this subchapter to eliminate abusive debt collecting practices by debt collectors to ensure that those debt collectors who refrain from using abusive debt collecting practices are not competitively disadvantaged, and to promote consistent state action to protect consumers against debt collecting abuses. So basically, they made this, you know, to let them know they don't have to do certain things or go against our rights to get their money. So we're going to go into some of the definitions. The term bureau means the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. The term communication means the conveying of information regarding a debt directly or indirectly to any person through any medium. The term consumer means any natural person obligated or allegedly obligated to pay any debt. But when they say allegedly, sometimes they don't have those original documents that we signed. And the term creditor means any person who offers or extends credit, creating a debt, or to whom a debt is owed. But such term does not include any person to the extent that he receives an assignment or transfer of a debt and defaults solely for the purpose of facilitating collection of such debt for another. The term debt collector means any person who uses instrumentalities of interstate commerce or the mails in any business, the principal purpose of which is the collection of any debt, or who regularly collects or attempts to collect directly or indirectly debts owed or due or asserted to be owed or due another, notwithstanding the exclusion provided by Clause F of the last sentence of this paragraph. The term includes any creditor who, in the process of collecting his own debt, uses any name other than his own, which would indicate that a third person is collecting or attempting to collect such debt. For the purpose of Section 1692F6 of this title, such term also includes any person who uses any instrumentality of interstate commerce or the mails in any business, the principal purpose of which is the enforcement of security interest. The term does not include any officer or employee of a creditor, while the name of the creditor collecting for such creditor, any person while acting as a debt collector for another person, both of whom are related by common ownership or affiliated by corporate control. If the person acting as a debt collector does so only for persons to whom it is so related or affiliated, and if the principal business of such person is not the collection of debt. Also, any officer or employee of the United States or any state, to the extent that collecting or attempting to collect any debt is in the performance of his official duties. Any person while serving or attempting to serve legal process on any other person in connection with the judicial enforcement of any debt, any nonprofit organization which, at the request of consumers, performs bona fide consumer credit counseling and assists consumers in the liquidation of their debts by receiving payments from such consumers and distributing such amounts to creditors, and any person collecting or attempting to collect any debt owed or due or asserted to be owed or due another to the extent such activity is incidental to a bona fide fiduciary obligation or a bona fide escrow arrangement. Concerns a debt which was originated by such person. Concerns a debt which was not in default at the time it was obtained by such person, or concerns a debt obtained by such person as a secured party in a commercial credit transaction involving the creditor. The term location information means a consumer's place of abode and his telephone number at such place or his place of employment. The term state means any state, territory, or possession of the United States, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, or any political subdivision of any of the foregoing. All right. So any debt collector communicating with any person other than consumer for the purpose of acquiring location information about the consumer shall identify himself, say that he's confirming or correcting location information concerning the consumer, and only if expressly requested, identify his employer. So basically, we already know when they call you your job, most times they're trying to get money out of your check. And they'll never just call to, you know, see where you're at or how they get in contact with you. Sometimes they do follow the laws, but that's only if you actually actually put in certain things. So let's keep going. Not to state that such consumers owes any debt, not communicate with any such person more than once unless requested to do so by such person, or unless the debt collector reasonably believes that the earlier response of such person is erroneous or incomplete, and that such person now has correct or complete location information. Not communicate by postcard, not use any language or symbol on any envelope or in the contents of any communication affected by the mails or telegrams that indicates that the debt collector is in the debt collection business, or that the communication relates to the collection of debt, and after the debt collector knows the consumer is represented by an attorney with regard to the subject debt and has knowledge of or can readily ascertain such attorney's name and address, not communicate with any person other than that attorney unless the attorney fails to respond within a reasonable period of time. All right, let's keep going. Section 805, communication in connection with the debt collection. Communication with the consumer generally, without the prior consent of the consumer, given directly to the debt collector or the express permission of the court of competent jurisdiction, a debt collector may not communicate with a consumer in connection with the collection of any debt at any unusual time or place, or a time or place known or which should be known to be inconvenient to the consumer. In the absence of knowledge of circumstances to the contrary, a debt collector shall assume that the convenient time for communicating with a consumer is after 8 o'clock. Meridian. I don't know what that means. Meridian. Let's look that up. Meridian. The 18th. I don't know. Intermeridian is the meridian of longitude opposite any given meridian. I guess that meant this means time zone. And before 9 o'clock post-meridian, local time at the consumer's location. If the debt collector knows the consumer is represented by an attorney with respect to such debt and has knowledge of or can readily ascertain such attorney's name and address, unless the attorney fails to respond within a reasonable period of time to a communication from the debt collector, or unless the attorney consents to direct communication with the consumer or at the consumer's place of employment, If the debt collector knows or has reason to know that the consumer's employer prohibits the consumer from receiving such communication. All right, and let's go on communication with third parties. Except as provided in Section 1692B of this title, without the prior consent of the consumer is given directly to the debt collector or the express permission of a court of competent jurisdiction or as reasonable necessary to officiate a post-judgment judicial remedy, a debt collector may not communicate in connection with the collection of any debt with any person other than the consumer, his attorney, a consumer reporting agency, if otherwise permitted by law, the creditor, the attorney of the creditor, or the attorney of the debt collector. See, ceasing communication. If a consumer notifies the debt collector in writing that the consumer refuses to pay a debt, or that the consumer wishes the debt collector, debt collector to cease further communication with the consumer, the debt collector shall not communicate further with the consumer with respect to such debt except to advise the consumer that the debt collector's further efforts are being terminated, to notify the consumer that the debt collector or creditor may invoke specified remedies which are ordinarily invoked by such debt collector or creditor, or where applicable, to notify the consumer that the debt collector or creditor intends to invoke a specified remedy. If such notice from the consumer is made by mail notification, shall be complete upon receipt. Consumer defined. For the purpose of this section, the term consumer includes the consumer's spouse, parent, if the consumer is a minor, guardian, executor or administrator. Let's go to a harassment or abuse. A debt collector may not engage in any conduct, the natural consequences of which is to harass, oppress, or abuse any person in connection with the collection of debt without limiting the general application of the foregoing. The following conduct is a violation of this section: the use or threat of violence or other criminal means to harm the physical person, reputation, or property of any person, the use of obscene or profane language or language the natural consequences of which is to abuse the hearer or reader, the publication of a list of consumers who allegedly refuse to pay debts except to a consumer reporting agency or to the persons meeting the requirements of Section 1681AF or 1681B3 of this title, the advertisement for sale of any debt to coerce payment of the debt. That just means when those the creditors sell those debts to those third party creditors. Causing a telephone to ring or engaging any person in telephone conversation repeatedly or continuously with the intent to annoy, abuse, or harass any person at the call number. As we know, they always do that. They call you back to back even after you tell them, you know, hey, I got you guys, or, you know, anything. Unless you pay them or you send out that third party debt collector, which just stops and seizes everything. Ceases them from contacting you. Let's continue. Except as provided in Section 1692B of this title, the placement of telephone calls without meaningful disclosure of the caller identity. You know, sometimes when they call you, they ask you for, you know, confirm your name. You asking them, hey, who are you? I understand you asking me for my name. Before I confirm my name, who are you? And what agency do you work for? Most times they don't even tell you who they work for. They just want you to go ahead and state your name, which they don't have a right to do. All right, let's continue. Section 807, false or misleading representations. A debt collector may not use any false, deceptive, or misleading representation or means in connection with the collection of any debt without limiting the general application of the foregoing. The following conduct conduct is a violation of this section. False representation or implication that the debt collector is vouched for, bonded by, or affiliated with the United States or any state includes the use of any badge, uniform, or facsimile. Let's look that up. Facsimile. Definition. An exact copy, especially of written or printed material. Make a copy of, especially just a copy. The false representation of the character, amount, or legal status of any debt or any service rendered or compensation which may be lawfully received by any debt collector for the collection of a debt. The false representation or implication that any individual is an attorney or that any communication is from an attorney. The representation or implication that non-payment of any debt will result in the arrest or imprisonment of any person or the seizure, garnishment, attachment, or sale of any property or wages of any person unless action is lawful and the debt collector or creditor intends to take such action. The threat to take any action that cannot legally be taken or that is not intended to be taken. The false representation or implication that a sale or referral or other transfer of any interest in the debt shall be cause the consumer to lose any claim or defense to payment of the debt or become subject to any practice prohibited by the subchapter. The false representation or implication that the consumer committed any crime or other conduct in other to disgrace the consumer, communicating or threatening to communicate to any person credit information which is known or which should be known to be false, including the failure to communicate that a disputed debt is disputed, the use of distribution of any written communication which stimulates or is falsely represented to be document authorized, issued, or approved by any court official or agency of the United States or any state, or which creates a false impression as to its source, authorization, or approval. The use of any false representation or deceptive means to collect or attempt to collect any debt or to obtain information concerning it. So the failure to disclose in the initial written communication with the consumer, and in addition, if the initial communication with the consumer is oral, and that initial oral communication that the debt collector is attempting to collect the debt, that any information obtained will be used for that purpose, and the failure to disclose in subsequent communication that the communication is from a debt collector, except that this paragraph shall not apply to a formal pleading made in connection with a legal action. The false representation of implication that the accounts have been turned over to innocent purchase for value. The false representation or implication that documents are legal process. The use of any business, company, or organization name other than the true name of the debt collector's business, company, or organization. So we know that as to be any third-party debt collector. The false representation or implication that documents are not legally processed forms and do not require action by the consumer. The false representation or implication that a debt collector operates or is employed by a consumer reporting agency as defined by Section 1681AF of this title. I'm going to go into unfair practices. A debt collector may not use unfair or consolable means to collect or attempt to collect any debt without limiting the general application of the foregoing. The following conduct is a violation of this section. The collection of any amount, including any interest, fee, charge, or expense incidental to the principal obligation, unless such amount is expressly authorized by the agreement creating the debt or permitted by law. The acceptance by a debt collector from any person of a check or other payment instrument post-dated by more than 5 days unless such person is notified in writing of the debt collector's intent to deposit such check or instrument not more than 10 or less than 3 business days prior to such deposit. The solicitation by a debt collector of any post-dated check or other post-dated payment instruments for the purpose of threatening or instituting criminal persecution. Depositing or threatening to deposit any post-dated check or other post-dated payment instrument prior to the date on such check or instrument, causing charges to be made to any person for communication by concealment of true purpose of communication. Such charges include but are not limited to collect telephone calls and telegram fees, taking or threatening to take any non-judicial action to effort to affect disposition or disenablement of property if A, there is no present right to possession of the property claimed as collateral through enforceable security interest. B, there is no present intention to take possession of the property. Or C, the property is exempt by law from such disposition or disablement. Communicating with a consumer regarding a debt by postcard using any language or symbol other than the debt collectors or on any envelope, or communication with a consumer by use of mail, by telegram, except that a debt collector may use his business name if such name does not indicate that he is in the debt collection business. Let's go on to validation, section 809, validation of debts. Notice of debts, contents. Within 5 days after initial communication with the consumer in connection with the collection of any debt, a debt collector shall, unless the following information is contained in the initial connection or the consumer has paid the debt, send the consumer a written notice containing, 1, the amount of the debt, 2, the name of the creditor to whom the debt is owed, 3, a statement that unless the consumer within 30 days after a receipt of the notice disputes the validity of the debt or any portion thereof, the debt will be assumed to be valid by the debt collector. A statement that if the consumer notifies the debt collector in writing within the 30-day period that the debt or any portion thereof is disputed, the debt collector will obtain verification of debt or a copy of a judgment against the consumer, and a copy of such verification or judgment will be mailed to the consumer by the debt collector. And 5, a statement that upon the consumer's written request within the 30-day period, the debt collector will provide the consumer with the name and the address of the original creditor if different from the current creditor. B, disputed debts. If the consumer notifies the debt collector in writing within the 30-day period described in subsection A of this section that the debt or any portion thereof is disputed or that the consumer requests the name and address of the original creditor, the debt collector shall cease collection of debt or any disputed portion thereof until the debt collector obtains verification of the debt or a copy of a judgment or the name and address of the original creditor, and a copy of such verification or judgment or name and address of the original creditor is mailed to the consumer by the debt collector. Collection activities and communications that do not otherwise violate the subchapter may continue during the 30-day period referred to the subsection A, unless the consumer has notified the debt collector in writing that the debt or any portion of the debt is disputed or that the consumer requests a name and address of original creditor. Any collection activities and communication during the 30-day period may not overshadow or be inconsistent with the disclosure of the consumer's right to dispute the debt or request the name and address of the original creditor. C, omission of liability. The failure of consumer to dispute the validity of a debt under this section may not be constructed by any court as an admission of liability by the consumer. Legal pleadings, a communication in the form of a formal pleading in a civil action shall not be treated as an initial communication for purposes of subsection A. Notice provision. The sending or delivery of any form or notice which does not relate to the collection of a debt is expressly required by Title 6, Title 5 of Graham-Leach-Billy Act 15 U.S.C. 6801 sequence, or any provision of federal or state law relating to notice of data security breach or privacy, or any regulation prescribed under any provisions of law should not be treated as an initial communication in connection with debt collection for purposes of this section. All right, so we'll go to the next thing. Let's go into, let's look at, furnishing certain deceptive forms. It is unlawful to design, compile, and furnish any form knowing that such form will be used to create the false belief in a consumer that a person other than the creditor of such consumer is participating in the collection of or in an attempt to collect a debt such consumer allegedly owes such creditor, when in fact such person is not so participating. Any person who violates this section shall be liable to the same extent in the same manner as a debt collector is liable under Section 1692K of this title for failure to comply with the provisions of this subchapter. Let's look at, I think that's pretty much it for that. There's a little bit more in it, but I'm going to go ahead and go to the callers and take any questions you guys got. 437-1240.
Hello.
How you doing?
Can you hear me? I just had a question, man. If I was, I have actually a couple. I was, as far as like getting a job without a social, I always know Joan always talks about, don't, you know, use your social. So if I wanted to just get a job to, you know, acquire some CI to do things I need to do, could I get an EIN and still use that said name, or do I have to open my trust first and then get the EIN from out of the trust?
That's a good question.
Yo,
I don't know.
If you get a job, you cannot use nothing but a social on a job unless you claim a religious exemption.
Okay.
Yeah.
Word.
All right. You can't give them an estate number. You can't give them a trust number because they're going to verify it, for number one. And number two, they profit off of using your social. So why would they hire you when they can get somebody else that wants to give up the social?
Right.
Right.
Cool.
So
now,
if you got a job, you working for them, you're pretty much at their whim. You can be exempt from using a social, but you got to read the law before you do that. You can't give them nothing but a social or not give them a social. You're not required to give them a social, but you must read the laws. That's how that works when you're working on a job. But
right,
I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
They're the bosses, so they don't have to, you know, they make money off of getting that money out of your check every week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, yeah. That was pretty much my question on that. Cause right now, I don't have no actual like U.S. ID. I just got my national ID. And, you know, I'm pretty much in that blender where I need to generate the fee. I mean, I have some slow business and stuff coming in with my music and clothes and stuff, but I need bigger money to execute some things. So that was, and then the other question I had was as far as the child support goes, will I be able to get custody of my kids if I if their mothers are pretty much deemed lawfully unfit on a mental scale?
I don't know. You got to go in and you know and state that you're the father. You're the natural father.
Okay, now, but do
I
when
know.
I go
that
back in?
Not...
Right. Go ahead.
Well, how do you know they're going to deem her unfit? What makes you think they're going to do that?
Why wouldn't she if she is, you know, if she would use a lawyer or she's a 14th Amendment and she doesn't have a nationality? That's, I mean, that's in child.
No, man, that's bullshit, man. Man, cut that shit out, what you talking about. That's not how they see it.
Right.
If she's a 14th Amendment, she's under their jurisdiction. That's why I asked you, how are you going to prove that she's unfit? How do you know she's unfit? That's your opinion. So how are you going to go into court and prove that? The way that the courts are set up, they're on her side.
Right.
And if you go to any court trying to make that argument, you got to give them jurisdiction to even do it. So that means
right.
you're going to give up all of your rights. And guess what? You'll lose.
Right. I was building to go to federal.
Say it again.
She disclosed my information as far as the whole how I even got on child support. But I was going to state my claim at a federal court, and
Anytime you're trying to go after children. You have to give the court jurisdiction. Remember, child support laws originate out of the federal jurisdiction. That's
right.
where they get them from. That's the laws
right.
they're following. So you're going to go to federal court to try to get your children.
Well, first I was going to fight child support in general just for the fraud and the racketeering and the extortion.
Let me ask you a question. You're using words like fraud, racketeering. Where do you get the proof that you're going to use in court?
The Title IV.
What law are you going to refer to fraud and racketeering?
The Title IV.
Go ahead.
Well, the Title IV, I know that's under the Social Security Act, and I know that, you know, they're getting a grant from me to pay her.
Okay, let me ask you. You know, you said you know that. Show me the proof of you knowing that. Where can I find that information that says that they're getting the money from you through your social?
All right, Part A, I see that is Section 402. I started on Part D on Title 4D, and I started off with appropriation, and then I went into Section 451, Section 452.
What you're going to do is you're going to use their codes to beat child support.
Why would I not whoop somebody ass with their own shit?
You can't use their own shit because they don't even follow their own shit. The only
right.
thing you can beat child support with is the Constitution.
Right, okay.
And your religious freedoms. That's it. You might want to go back and listen to our older shows. There's a brother who went into court for child support, and he dealt with it. And he talked about codes, but he mainly used the Constitution and the Bible. You cannot use their codes to get out of child support because they can do whatever they want.
Right.
It's their codes. They made the rules, and they don't have to follow them, but you do. But one thing they do have to follow is that Constitution because the Constitution keeps them in check. That's a contract.
Right.
They don't have a contract for the coach.
Is that the one for America, right? The United States for America?
The state's constitution. You can use the state's constitution.
I'm in South Carolina, but my seeds are in Texas. I just left Texas. I was domiciled in Texas for 7 years.
Whatever state that they're trying to get you in child support, use that constitution.
Right.
Like
only
I
that
said,
constitution or the constitution in general?
Testimony. Say it again.
I said the constitution only in Texas or the other constitution as well.
You need okay. Let me see. You don't understand. Whatever court that started the child support, where they're saying that they want you to go and pay child support, that state you need to use that constitution.
All right.
Like I said, you need to go back, listen to our older shows, and there's a brother who talked about child support in court, and he mentioned the Constitution, he mentioned the Bible, he whipped their ass in there. Listen to our older shows. There's one on Brother Gives Testimony on Child Support. Listen to that show.
What's the title of it?
Yeah, and I also have the templates on how I beat child support for people on my website, IKML.com. That'll show you the method. You go in there trying to use their codes and all of that, you will lose. You're not going to get anywhere with that. They're going to ignore you. And the second thing, you go in there trying to force them to give up your children to you, you're going to lose. Why?
Right.
You know, on one hand, you're telling them you don't have to pay child support because it's unconstitutional, but on the other hand, you're going to go and ask them, oh, I need my children. How does that work? To establish, first they're going to establish whether you're the father or not. Legal father, not natural father, legal father. Once they do that, all they're going to care about is getting money from you. And you're trying to say she's incompetent because she's a 14th Amendment citizen. They love that. So they're on her side.
Right.
You're not going to win with that argument. You'd be wasting your time.
Right.
What I suggest you do, read the laws. Read your first of all, study your constitution. That's number one. And because it sounds like a lot of the information you got is either off of YouTube or some hearsay stuff. Before you start believing stuff, you need to research.
Well, I was studying the Social Security Act. That I just thought that you know, right? I mean,
the Social Security Act is not going to get you out of child support.
Yeah, I mean, I'm clear that, I mean, just building off the conversation with you already. I mean, but what I was saying was prior to that, that's what I went for. That the Social Security, I mean, I felt the Social Security is a bonded situation, so that's what I went towards to see what else fell under the Social Security. So that's how I ran into the title.
You have to keep from giving up your Social to your job.
Right.
So you don't have to use it because you don't want to use the Social.
Right.
All right, brother?
All right.
All right. All right. Hey, that was good you read that Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, because a lot of people still don't quite understand that. You know.
Yeah, I just wanted to get people on the same page, especially about the third-party debt collector. Give them a nice understanding of it. All right, 336096.
Who's that?
I don't know. They put their hand up.
Oh. All right,
go to another caller. I guess 604-4625. Huh?
Nah, they didn't have their hand up, Xavier.
No, I mean, they had the hand up before, and then I guess they took it down.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh,
nobody got no questions today.
Yo, we'll make it a short show, 1 hour, but announced we got that seminar coming up in New York, 13th, 14th, and the 15th. Go to IKML.com, check it out, and $300 in advance, $300 at the door. You come to the door, pay cash. We're going to be talking about fixing that birth certificate. That's the most important thing we're dealing with. even for that brother who had the issue with the child support, that's what he needed to concentrate on there, that. You know?
Yep, I think I'm going to do...
But,
so we're going...
219, just put
go
the
ahead.
Hand up.
Three.
219-333.
Peace to God.
Peace to God. Peace, brothers.
Hey, I just had one question, you know, about, like, when you, you know, how, like, some states, you know, you can't go directly into the Supreme Court. You got to go through the circuit court, and they ask for your fingerprints. I was just wondering if, you know what I'm saying, if you got to do that, do you just go ahead and do it, even though, you know what I'm saying, you doing the whole process with that?
The only reason why you got to go to another court to get to the Supreme Court is if you got an appeal going there. But in the process of correcting your birth certificate, you got to go straight to the Supreme Court because they're the only one with original jurisdiction, and that's according to their rules.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to have to. You're going to do a little more. Have you been to one of our seminars?
Yeah.
Y'all keep coming back. Oh, they're not letting me do this and they're not letting me do that. That's because you have to put the paperwork in that court. They will let you through because only that court can fix nationality. The other courts can't. They can change your name in any other court, but they can't change your name. They can't change your nationality. You have to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I was just
straight
going based on what I read, you know what I'm saying, of my state. You know what I'm saying? It said
what
that,
did your
you
state
know
say? What does it say?
It say that you had, it's the circuit court was the court that had the jurisdiction. But, you know, like Majona was telling me, like, you
oh,
put it
no,
in circuit
no,
court.
No, stop right here. It had jurisdiction over what matters. Because when it says court, it tells you what courts handle what.
Right. I can't quote it for verbatim, but.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Go back and read it again, because when it tells you what court has jurisdiction, it will tell you what those courts have jurisdiction. And guess what? The Supreme Court handles foreign matters.
Right.
Your birth certificate, nationality is a foreign matter.
Right.
Those other courts can't handle that. They can only handle domestic matters. See what I'm saying? You're changing your nationality from something foreign. That's a foreign
right.
issue. You see, that's what y'all overlooking. Y'all see, well, it says this court does this court, but y'all not paying attention to the words and what these courts handle. Exactly. And y'all not considering yourselves as being foreign.
I ain't even got a chance to go on. I know they just started doing their online process, so I'm pretty sure you could select.
That's better, brother. That's
Supreme
better
Court.
Because there's no gatekeeper to stop you from filing the paperwork.
Right.
If they got an online process, that is even better because now you can file it, pay your fees, and they can't. There's nobody saying you can't do it here.
Right.
We recommend you do it online so you don't have to deal with the peon. Because once they take that money, they got to take that case.
Right.
You
right.
see what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah, I came to the seminar in North Carolina and shit.
Yeah. Just remember, you're dealing with a foreign issue. The Supreme Court is the only court that can handle anything on a foreign matter. And that was one of the things that Jonah went over in the seminar, showing y'all.
Right.
You're taking yourself from being a 14th Amendment, which is domestic, to a foreign. You're going from a domestic state to a foreign state.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering. I got you now. All right, peace to the gods.
All right, peace.
Peace
bro.
To the gods.
All right,
let's move on to the next caller.
484-3109. He ain't asking no questions.
Peace to God. Uh-huh. Well, the first question I have to ask is how y'all gonna sneak a show in without me knowing? You just gonna throw a show in like, here's a new show.
That's why we send out, messages when we do it. You know, this is only his second show, so.
I know. See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm letting you know. I do my research because I snuck in on the last show and I heard it. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I knew about the last show, he missed a week.
No, it was more than a week.
It was two weeks.
Right, okay, but I don't keep track of time. You know what I'm saying? Time is not a factor with me. You know what I mean? But other than that, so I'm up on it. But I'm trying to figure out, like, yo, y'all just going to throw a show in there. I don't even know the name of the show, though. That's what you got up on me on.
Freedom Friday.
Freedom Friday. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about some freedom. So now y'all gonna tell me how to get free if I ask that question.
Well, right? You've been listening for damn near 3 years now. You should know how to be free. You should be an expert.
I mean, but look, no, I'm talking to the new guy. I ain't talking to the co-host. I'm talking to the new guy. You can't play two parts. Come on, man. You acting like
you
on
his
now.
Like helping him.
I know, but that's what the judge be doing. They be wearing two hats. You can't wear two hats. Come on. Let him do it. Let me see what's going on. So what I got to do there? I know I can't
listen.
Hear you, right? I know. This I came junior. So in your from your perspective, if I was a new guy coming into this thing, what you think I should do to start setting my freedom course?
Your birth certificate. That's the first thing you should do.
Okay, authentication.
Birth certificate. Mm-hmm. You start off with your birth certificate. From there, you branch off away from your Social Security. And then thirdly, you start off with your nationality.
The nationality. All right, so the birth certificate, Social Security, then
now I would say in a different order. Now I would say work on that, correcting that status. Then your injunction.
Then the birth certificate.
Well, you can do the birth certificate, your authentic birth certificate, all while you're doing that at the same time. So you can do those at the same time.
Okay,
but
I mean,
do that injunction.
Oh yeah, the injunction. You right, the injunction.
I can dig that, but Akeem, that's not fair. Boom, bam, you out of there. You can't come in for Akeem Jr. It's this show. You can't take over the show, Akeem.
I ain't taking over the show, but what I'm saying,
I would do. Right.
That wasn't exactly wrong, because you know that's how we were teaching it.
Right, okay. You pulling the Hollywood. No, but look, let me say this, though. Now, you are aware that they are talking about getting rid of the Social Security number.
Yeah, I saw that article yesterday. But what they're trying to do, well, here it is. They're not getting rid of the social, right?
Right.
Because they still need that number. They're using it for, they're going to keep it what it was used for, the original purpose, the retirement fund, right?
Right.
But what they're trying to do is get people to use a algorithm or a number that they give that is complicated to hack that they can control for credit purposes. That's what they're trying to do now. Basically, they are fitting people. That's what that's going to be, are fitting. Put the chip in your ass. That's what that's going to be. That's what they're talking about. They're not saying that, but if you read between the lines, what other thing can you give somebody that's going to be unbreakable or almost unbreakable? You have to give them something that attaches to them.
You're definitely right,
you see
about
what I'm saying?
That.
That they only have.
Now, it would be in our best interest not to even deal with that. Because once they cancel that shit, that kills the contract. You see what I'm saying? The contract is dead.
Well, even the contract, what I'm saying is, what I look at is, now they have control over everything. See, the way it is now, I have the choice to give up the social, right? I have a choice. In that way, you don't have no choice. Because
it's embedded in you.
To you.
Right.
You ain't got no choice. And they could turn your money on and off with that. Because why? They're going to take that number and they're going to make it used for bank accounts, your job, your house, everything, your life. Everything's going to be attached to that. Now, the reason why that's bad is this. Remember, the rules of the Social Security Administration says you don't have to give up your social, right?
Right.
But guess what? They come up with this BS. That ain't part of those rules.
Right.
That's
the whole
because
what
up,
they're
right?
doing is they amending the contract and making it fit to them to further
no,
secure the property.
No contract. They're going to make a whole new contract for you to get into
right.
that's separated from the Social Security. Because they don't know that most found a loophole, not even a loophole, it's just found the law to say we ain't giving up that social, we ain't got to use it for religious reasons. But
right.
out of that, if you know what we know, you don't have to use that because if the government give me a number, that's still a mark of the beast.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but at the end of the day, they already see, they know that a lot of people, they're going to be wanting them what? Oh, I want my benefits when I retire at 65,
oh, yeah,
and I can
yeah,
be free
yeah,
to do
know,
whatever.
Because, listen, they always going to have a slave. You just got to do your thing. You know, they always
right.
going to have a slave to say, how you going to live without this? The government said, that, you know, the government is the boss. They got the power.
Right.
So,
you know, that was my main argument when I talked to people about that whole thing. And I'm like, well, you utilizing these benefits and privileges. I mean, who the fuck wants to work for a motherfucker? Then you 65-year-old. Who wants some 65-year-old titties? You see what I'm saying? Your titties all
right.
long and wrinkled and shit. You 65. You talk about, I can relax now. Or you relaxing by your goddamn self. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as for dudes,
yeah.
y'all done went out here, you done forgot about your dreams, cast them to the side. No, I'm just going to work over here, and I'm going to enrich this motherfucker. I don't care about what I want. You know what I mean? This is the mentality of motherfucker. That's the crazy part. My bad, I came, Junior. But, you know, sometimes I go off on the deep end. But I got to say it like
now,
this.
That's true. That's true. I mean, everybody should have their own business, I feel. Because once you got your own business, you could mind your own business.
Right.
That's
but
my
you see, the majority of the people, they cast their dreams to the side, and then they allot all they worth and their time to somebody else. And then they wonder, like, well, I wish I could have did this in life. Well, it's too late, you 65-year-old bastard.
Well, you know
go
ahead. Here's the problem. You've been taught most of your life how to work for somebody. You know how hard it is to break the mold of working for yourself, especially if you don't have the knowledge of running a business. You don't know the skills of how to avoid taxes. You know, reduce your tax liability. Then the discipline of running your own business. You know, when I say discipline, the discipline of being fearful that you're not going to make enough money to pay your bills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So all of those are the obstacles that the average person has when they start to do their own business. Because then you got your family. Oh, you sure you want to do that? You know, that job, got they always getting you in a position of getting a job. They got great benefits. You know, you
uh-huh.
they got good retirement. You know, that's how people are talking. The energy out there right now is about being a slave. And everybody's
yeah.
brainwashed that way. So it's very hard to go and just do your own thing. So it takes a special individual to drop it all and just trust in themselves. But I tell you, if you do that, it
right.
will pay off. I used to hear people talk like that. Like, I used to watch shows of people who, when I was working for people, and I used to hear people, yo, I had to just drop everything. I had to sacrifice. I had to just jump off the cliff, basically.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Then they said, you know, now I'm glad I did it. It was hard to do it, you know, let go of that former way of living. Now I see what they're talking about. Because I had to do that. I had to just jump off the cliff. I'm just going to be all in. And when I became all in, I realized what that scripture said. You can't serve two masters. You can't have a job and have be an entrepreneur at the same time. You got to have to love one or hate
and hate
the
other. Right, right. That's definitely true.
You know what I'm saying?
This is the thing that's going on.
I realize, you know, you got so many people that got businesses, and they work their jobs at the same time. And I always sit there and tell them, you said, I'm going to tell you from my experience, you will be okay in that job, too, and you'll be okay in your business, but your business will never grow big enough until you let go of that job. Because right now, you're straddling the fence. You got
right.
And when I did this for years, I had my barbershop, and I would go work for different companies. And I had my satellite business working for different companies, but I could never get the business to get to where I wanted it to go. And I didn't realize I was the problem because I was working, enriching someone else's business and giving part-time to my business.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? When
yeah,
I should have been just worried about enriching mine. And when I let it go, that's when I started to be more successful.
Right, but you know,
because
it's hard to come out.
It.
It's hard to come out of the sheep mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's very
because
hard.
The key word is the benefits.
No, the key word is fear. And
yeah.
Here's you know what it is though, Hollywood though? You know what it
What's
is?
What's that?
Us brothers don't have the proper support when we go into business for ourselves. From the people in our house.
Right, because your woman ain't on your side.
Okay,
you know, and that's crazy.
Well, say she on your side, but when money gets tight, she's complaining. Instead of getting down and getting dirty with you and helping you make that bread, she's looking at you, well, you ain't bringing enough bread in. You know, it's almost like, wait a minute, am I working for you or are we working together? Am I your slave? You see what I'm saying? They don't have the proper mentality when it comes to that. And then they say, well, you better go back and get that job. They keep pushing you towards that establishment.
Right. Well,
listen,
yeah,
bro,
you know, definitely.
The greatest weapon that white supremacy has right now is the black woman.
Yes, right. And you already see that because he has infected your home, and you already know a divided house cannot stand. So if your castle was split up with bullshit and fuckery, now they can't sit behind you and help you get to do your own shit, but they can make sure your ass get to work and work for another motherfucker.
Right. Go get that job. They more comfortable with you bringing home a paycheck, a regular paycheck, than you working for yourself. Now, let me take it a little further. Like me, I'm successful in my what I do. But you know the biggest problem I have with women who what I do now?
What's
they
that?
Feel like I got so much free time that I'm out there fucking around instead of working.
Yeah.
So they try to push me into working so that they know where I'm at all the time. You
right, like you on a job.
The greatest weapon that they got is the black woman.
And you know
and
the crazy
even,
part is,
it's on remote control. They don't even know it.
Yeah,
they don't
it ain't
know
on
that
remote control no more. It's on autopilot because these motherfuckers doing it to themselves.
That's what I mean. It's on, oh yeah, you're right. It's on autopilot.
It's autopilot.
Yes, it is.
Because they be on some shit like, nigga, what you doing out here? What the hell you talking about? I'm coming here with paint all on me. Who the hell is sleeping with a nigga with paint on him? You know what I'm saying? That's one of the things I went through. You know, because I'm a handyman type motherfucker, right? So, I mean, who come?
Right.
I got paint on me, sawdust, all type of shit. What type of woman sleeping with a nigga with this shit on? And you really believe that in your mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm just out slinging sawdust everywhere around this motherfucker. You know, that's crazy, man.
Now,
but this is what goes through their mind.
I watch a lot of businesses, and, you know, it's I'm not going to sit here and beat up on the sisters like that. Now, there are some sisters that do get down and dirty, help their man make that money and work with them and make sure the money's straight. You know, Jonah's one example. His wife is excellent with that. And I know a few other guys out like right?
Right.
But I look at other businesses where there's husband and wife teams. It's just more other groups are doing that than we are. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're more successful, because they have learned how to work with each other and, you know, make their businesses grow. Because it becomes an our thing and not a we thing, not an I thing. It's an our thing. Whereas in our businesses, it's, you know, they're looking at you. It's okay when you're bringing in the bread, but when you're not bringing the bread, they complain that they're not willing to help you. You see what I'm saying? They're not willing to help you bring it up, you know. But what they'll go get a job to make more money instead of helping you build that. They go where it's comfortable, you know.
Right,
so,
definitely. Yeah.
I'm talking about my own experiences.
I'm telling you my experience now. You know what I'm saying? So this is what I'm telling you, man. So I already know and I already see it. And I'll be looking at the mind. I'll be like, yo, this stuff is real and right here in your face. But instead of you looking at this, you would rather say, I'm not listening to none of that. What the hell are you talking about? I didn't write this shit. I didn't upload this on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wrote the book in 1828. I ain't write that.
Right.
I wasn't even alive in 1828. I'm just pointing out what they think of you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then when I point all these things out,
they're looking at you like, why you studying that? What you studying that for? What's that going to do for you? You know?
Well, how am I winning the game of life if I don't know the rules? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I point out what these words mean, even in that dictionary and other dictionaries, like legal dictionaries, I'm like, okay, so you see how they refer to you to this and that and that and this. So now you already know what's going on. You dig what I'm saying?
Yo,
so if you acknowledge yourself in these things.
The best way to beat all of that, dog, is just do your thing.
Yeah.
And let them see by example.
The best way I seen was to fly the fuck off. You know, let me tell you something. It's going to be the ones that you love the most that hurt you the most. You understand what I'm saying?
That's always, dog.
I'm not telling you that you got to leave. Like, you know, you ain't got to be on no Jesus or no Buddha type shit and just leave your whole goddamn family. What I'm saying is this. When you holding on to something, that's going to keep you back from moving on to the next move that you got to
right.
do. You see what I'm saying? And that's your biggest attachment. That's the same thing in death. If you close your eyes after that last shot or that last heartbeat, whatever it might be, and you still holding on in this realm, I'm sorry, you're going to be stuck to this realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm not saying that based on like, hey, well, because I'm looking at it from judging, from the laws of my eye, and from the spiritual teachings that was going through all the different schools of thought. They all say the same thing. You got to let go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is the material. And this is the worst realm you can be on in the first place.
Right. The 3D realm.
But niggas got a 2D, they got a two-dimensional reality. Everybody living off the television and Facebook and fucking pieces of paper and shit. They not even living in a three-dimensional realm. You see? So they ain't even touching the four-dimensional. So when I come from these motherfuckers on a whole different level, they looking like, what you talking about? No. That's because you stuck in a TV screen. You stuck on a piece of paper. You stuck on all these two-dimensional realities. You can't see it from a fourth-dimensional point of view, nor a fifth-dimensional point of view. But, you know, I digress.
All right, Hollywood, I'm going to have to stop you right there. You can go on all night, bro.
Yeah, I had to come in and bless. You know, I can't.
I'm about to get off. It's Friday
my night,
man.
Well, I'll be calling in. You know, we'll chop it up. And then the next time he go interject more.
Yeah.
Peace
to God.
Peace
to God.
All right.
260-8297. Peace to the God.
Peace to the God.
Right on. Boy, y'all going ham tonight, man. This has been a solid show. This is Prince Fulmore. How you doing?
Yeah,
good
you know
job,
who that
myself.
Is, baby.
Yeah, right, man, I can't complain, man.
I was trying to get him to remember who you are. You know Tracy, the barber that I used to work with?
Yeah.
That's his son.
Oh,
yep.
What's up? Hey, man, what's good with you, man? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, Seth, you don't hit on something with that two-dimensional reality. I was just looking into that whole fifth dimension joint.
Uh-huh.
What you got to say about that,
guys? Yeah, I was looking at some fifth dimension stuff. I got a lot to say about it, but I ain't going to say it tonight.
Yeah,
I have
man.
A lot to say. It ain't time for me to reveal that fifth dimension stuff. There's a lot of people going in on YouTube right now.
Yeah,
but I will say
you
this.
You know what?
I will say this. I will say this. If you are feeling like something is wrong with you, like or weird things is happening, but you can't get no medical reasoning why, it's possible you're transitioning into the fifth dimension. I'll just say that.
And you know what? What I'll say on that to confirm what you're saying, there was a study done over in China with water crystals. Some of y'all might have heard of it. And basically they took the water crystals and they put one water glass here, another water glass there, and they told one glass you ugly. And the other glass they told you beautiful. The water crystals in the ugly glass turned brown after, you know, X amount of time, but the water crystals in the other one that they said was beautiful turned like a snowflake pattern. And with
right.
the fifth dimension. And so they took the research a little bit further. And the lady, there was this lady that was real, real sick over there. The doctors couldn't do nothing with it. Like, it was some form of some type of whatever. And they couldn't do nothing with it. And then they brought in a group of people that was high consciousness, just like the people on hindsight. And even though y'all all ugly, man, y'all still high consciousness and y'all bring the truth to the people. And, man, don't you know that they started chanting over the lady and started touching her and it turned the people, all of them, it turned all of the whatever the sickness was, and it just erased. Like, they had the actual ultrasound on the area where it was. And in the ultrasound, you could see the damn cancer cell disappear.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
It's powerful, man.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes into play with our words and also our minds. You know, we got a lot of power with what we think and what we say. That's why we got to sometimes be careful with what we think and also with what we say, because it's going to happen. We got that power.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And see, the beautiful thing about what y'all doing is, because see, I realize for brothers in America, they've miseducated us from Jump Street. And so we use a lot of words like fool. Like, I'm over here in Compton and shit. They say fool and this, that, and the third. But for us, we're able to deflect negative words off of us because, you know, like when you having sex and, you know, a lot of times the programming that they put on us to try to have us, you know, keep our head down, you know, for lack of a better, you know, thought for that. The programming for us, it seemed like we the only ones on this soil saying the negative energy that come to us and absorb the positive energy that come from us. But at the same time, it's just like Akeem was saying with, you know, the marriage and this, that, and the third, we got to have the right structure with us in our personal life. And then that's when we're able to really manifest that level of spirituality.
Right.
Oh, I did have something for you, though, man. I wanted to ask you. I got a brother that had got jammed up and is trying to figure out how to get around a community service after a situation. Is there any remedy for that?
You say it again? Remember it?
Yeah.
He's already agreed to the contract is what you're saying.
I believe so.
Yeah. Go ahead and do that community service. I mean, he can do all kind of processes, but, you know, once he try them processes, they might try to lock him up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You already agreed to it. Go ahead and knock that community service out. Be thankful we ain't in jail. You know?
Right.
See, a lot of times when people don't know enough, you can't really – I can give them all the tools in the world, but they don't know enough and how to stand on it. They're going to screw it up. So I just say, finish off that community service. Okay. They have to study. You have to consider yourself approved beforehand before you try this stuff. You can't do it while you're in it. You know, because you know you're stumbling along the way. You got to get it down beforehand. This knowledge is to protect you from it happening. You know.
Right.
All right, brother.
That was all we call out. Hindsight.
Xavier.
All right. Peace.
That's it. That's it for your callers.
That's it?
Yeah.
Look like it. All
right.
We already talked to 1240.
I'm not sure. We use the first three numbers. The first six numbers is what we call out.
Oh, 843. I thought it was another 843.
You can try that one. Go ahead. Go ahead, get them. 843-437.
Got it.
I don't know if you got them or not.
All right, peace to
the
gods.
Peace to
the gods. Peace, what's up?
All right. Earlier I heard you talking about correct status. What you mean by correct status? Going down to the Social Security?
Nope, we're not talking about that. In order to know fully about correcting the status, you need to go come to one of our seminars that we do. That'll teach you how to correct the status correctly. Not going down to the Social Security. Why would you want to go to Social Security? That's the problem. That's where the problems lie, Social Security. Nah, you got to, if you want to learn that, my brother, you're going to have to come to one of those seminars. You can go back and listen to our older shows, and that'll give you an understanding of what we're talking about.
Okay.
When they talk about the status. All right, bro?
All right, appreciate it.
Go back to the archive.
All right.
All right. When will you guys be coming back to Atlanta?
We just left Atlanta last week.
Oh, wow. Word.
Yeah. You must have just started listening, bro.
Yeah, I have, man. I've been in a whole other world, like doing everything on my own.
You just did Atlanta last Saturday. You missed out, bro. That's where you would have learned what we were talking about correcting the status.
Word.
All right.
All right.
All right. Peace. All right. Man, good show. I'm out.
All right.
Come on out.
All right.
Tell your listeners thank you for tuning in, bro. Just leave them hanging.
I am. No, I wasn't. I was still on. I was just picking up what I was going to end out with real quick.
Just tell them bye. All right. All right.
Peace to the guys. Thank y'all for tuning in to Freedom Friday today. Hopefully, y'all got some good information today. Till next time. Peace.